Please turn in your Bible now to the book of Matthew. This morning we're going to look at a passage that preceded the crucifixion of Christ, the very night. And you're familiar, I think, with the garden that's called Gethsemane and what happened there. That's where, of course, Judas came and betrayed our Lord Jesus with a kiss, one of the very 12 chosen, hand-picked men that Jesus had spent 3 years pouring into. We're going to read a passage here in Matthew chapter 26, and we're headed to verse 41. So I'd like to read verse 41 to begin with, and then we'll go back and read some context. Verse 41, Jesus concluded these events here by challenging, of course, Peter specifically, and James and John, and I think us, because, of course, when we read this, we don't want to just learn about Peter. We don't want to use the Bible as a telescope to look at others. We want to use the Bible as a mirror to see ourselves. And Jesus spoke to Peter in this context and said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I find it fascinating to see that Jesus gave two strategies for overcoming when he said watch and he said pray. But then in addition to that, he spoke about Peter and the others, and I think us as well, when he said the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Let me ask you as we begin, before we even read the entire context, do you find yourselves or yourself sometimes being very willing, but also being very weak? Sometimes having great aspirations and willingness to do or to be something higher than, in fact, has been your experience, and yet you find that you can't pull it off. See, that's what happened in this passage. And so we're going to read it, and then we'll take it apart, beginning at verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, you recognize that as after what we would today call the Lord's Supper, the preparation for that. When they had sung a hymn, they, Jesus and the 11 that were left, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye," he's not talking to the world, he's talking to his 11, "all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it's written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad, but after I'm risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." That is so poignant, so powerful. Can you imagine the Lord of glory admitting to three human beings, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Help me. Help me. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face. Imagine. and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and finding them asleep, and said unto Peter, "What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them. Went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he's at hand that doth betray me." Our Father in heaven, open the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus and ourselves in this text, and draw us to your ever-loving heart, I pray, so that in the midst even of our sleepiness or other ways of failure, we would understand that you yet love and care and will use us. And so give us hope and grace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus taught us two facts here. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. What does it mean to be both willing and weak? You think of the 12 that Jesus picked. How could anybody be more strong-willed than Peter? It's not a bad thing to be strong-willed. You might say he never would have preached at Pentecost if he wasn't so strong-willed. If you were to look at the scriptures in the New Testament and look for someone else that was more strong-willed than Peter and the Lord Jesus, you'd probably come up with the Apostle Paul. And they are the two main characters in the book of Acts. Peter at the beginning, the apostle to the Jews. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. It is not a bad thing to be willing. It is a good thing to be willing. I hope and pray that you and I are all willing. We want to be willing. We want to do the will of God at the highest possible level. And there are two extraordinary examples of Peter's willingness here. I want you to look at them with me. We just read them. Very sincere willingness. He thought that he himself was willing despite others. Notice verse 31. "All ye shall be offended," Jesus said. This is not exaggeration. This is not hyperbole. This is not guesswork. Jesus is saying exactly what's going to happen because he knows exactly what's going to happen, and he still knows exactly what's going to happen even today. He said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And Peter's response, as I read, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." You might, I have underlined in my Bible, if you like to mark your Bible, I underlined in verse 33, three words, "Will I never?" Or we might put the subject first and say, "I will never." There's a willingness here. There's a determination here. I don't think Peter is blowing smoke. I don't think Peter is just being some kind of a braggart. I think Peter is so committed, so determined, so intent on being all that Jesus wants him to be. He has counted the cost as he can perceive it. And he says, "Well, James and John and the rest of them, I don't know about them, but here's what I know. I will never be offended at you." He's willing. He's willing. He thought that he would be willing even though others might not be. And it goes on, as I already read, and Jesus said to him in verse 34, "This night you're going to deny me three times. You're going to be offended, so offended, that three times you're going to say you don't even know me." You're not going to try to put something in context or explain something. You're just going to categorically say, "Leave me out, I don't know him." And Peter's response to that, verse 35, "Though I," he leaves everybody else now, He leaves them out. He says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And of course, the others chimed in too. I underlined in verse 35 three words, will I not? Or, again, if the subject is put before the verb, might be more, have more punch to it in our thinking today. I will not, he said. Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. My brother and sister, let us as the people of God acknowledge that what happened here is Peter, based on experience, based on all that he knew, based on his intelligence, his emotions, his training, everything that had ever happened to him, and all that Jesus meant to him, Peter could not even possibly imagine. He could not picture any way that anything could ever happen that he would be offended at Jesus, let alone deny him. Why? It's because Peter did not know what he would face that very night. But Jesus did. And oh, how humble you and I should be to recognize that there is no sin, no offense, no denial that is beyond our capability to do. We do not know what is in our future. We do not know what pain we may feel, what rejection, what fear, what heartache, what suffering, what reversal. We don't know. But Jesus does. And I just want to encourage you. Jesus knew this was going to happen. It was on the basis of what Peter said that only then later Jesus said to the others, you stay here. And he took this man and James and John, and took them further, and said to them, not to the others, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. He said that to this man. And that gives me so much hope. Because Jesus still loved him. Jesus still knew what he was going to do. Jesus had just heard Peter. I mean, I think if it was me, if I was telling somebody like Jesus told Peter, I would have said, pah! You have no idea. You're going down. You're going to crash and burn. You have no idea. I don't think I would have much patience. If I was teaching someone as Jesus was teaching Peter, and Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and Peter disagreed with him. Everybody might be offended, but not me. I might die, but I will not deny you. It was after that Jesus took Peter and said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Help me. Help me. Brother and sister, our very sincere, committed willingness is awesome. But it can become delusional. We can start believing that we are our dreams. We can start thinking that we are our willingness, that we are our sincerity, that we are our ideals. None of us are. We are, brother and sister, we are struggling sinners on our way to glory. And he deserves, and only he deserves, all the glory. Our sincere willingness is awesome. Let's not do away with that. Let us be willing. Let us make decisions. Let us make goals. Let us take steps to grow, to become more than we are. Think of your Bible reading. Think of your prayer. Think of your witnessing. Think of your giving. Think of your service. Think of whatever of these positive things. And may God help us each to want to take new steps of growth and living for him. But let us at the same time understand that willingness is not reality. It's just willingness. It's just willingness. It's wonderful. But it's not reality. Willingness is based on experience. But God knows what's coming. That's why he said, watch and pray. Willingness. We are willing. Peter was willing. We want to be willing. But Jesus concluded all of this after this narrative, this event, by giving them two strategies. He said, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But here we see in this very text, not just the willingness of Peter and his brothers, but the weakness. Let me review again, just for emphasis' sake. Jesus spoke to them in verse 36. They heard his plan. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. This is going to be a prayer meeting. Peter and James and John heard that. They all heard that. Sit ye here while I go and pray. They don't know what all is going to happen. He has taught them, but they didn't get it. They didn't perceive the denial, the rejection. They didn't grasp that this one who they believed was indeed God, that they would watch him be crucified, dead, and buried. Pray. I'm going to pray. They heard his plan. They heard his burden, as I said and have emphasized twice already. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, he said to Peter and James and John. If someone were to come to you today and said to you, in this assembly, can I talk with you for a few minutes? And they took you to a back room somewhere, and you sat down, and they looked you in the eyes and said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Would you pray for me? Think how moved you would be. Jesus was taking this burden that was on him, and he was laying it on them, not getting rid of it, but he was saying, help me! Help me! Help me! They heard his burden. They heard his request. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch with me. Help me. But what happened? Here's the weakness. He cometh unto the disciples in verse 40 and findeth them asleep. That is no surprise to Jesus. But it was no blessing to Jesus either, was it? I wonder, what do you think? I wonder if Peter, for the rest of his life, wished for a do-over. You have any things in your past that you'd say, boy, I wish I could have a do-over. I wish I could back up my life and kind of do this over or do that over or do this relationship over. Man, if I could do again what I did then, it would be so different. I wonder if Peter thought that for the rest of his days. I wonder if Peter might have wished that Matthew would leave this part out. It wasn't Matthew's doing. Why? Because this is not about Peter. This is about me. This is about us. This is about all of us. God's word is to be a revelation of him and a revelation of ourselves. There's no question about their commitment to Jesus. He chose the three. They were not frauds. They were not hypocrites. They were not playing at this. They'd spent 3 years giving him everything and learning of him. But what happened here? There are two things happening at the same time. On the one hand, you have Jesus, just the scripture says, a stone's throw away, praying, weeping. So weeping, so emotionally exercised, that he's weeping and sweating, as it were, even blood. But at the same time that that's going on, in weakness, Peter's dozing off. Amazing. The weakness, the human frailty, this is not critical. The human weakness is more influential in his life than the suffering of Christ. That can be true of us, brother and sister. Where what we're feeling, what we're experiencing, what we're burdened with, life can be so huge in our thinking that it fashions and molds us more than the influence of Jesus. It can be quite so for us. Their weakness impacted them more than the heartache of Jesus. Our best intentions are not actions. We need willingness, but we need, with our willingness, to also acknowledge our weakness. What's the answer? It's not guilt. The answer is not shame. The answer is not despair. The answer is not hopelessness. The answer is not to give up. The answer is not to say, I'm just like everybody else. The answer is not to say, I can't get any better. The answer is not to say, I've always been like this. The answer is to take our intentional willingness and add to it faith in someone bigger than ourselves. And for that willingness added to faith, to equal determination. I'm going to work at this. I'm going to do this. Taking our willingness, adding faith to it, and having then being determined. So what should we be determined about? How can we overcome when we don't even know what's coming? Well, that's why Jesus said, watch and pray. That's how we overcome. Watch and pray. The reality is, I wonder, I don't know, I don't mean to extrapolate or in any way go beyond what Scripture says in any kind of an authoritative way, but I just wonder, what do you think? Would it be possible? Let me put it like this. This may have happened if it was me. So we've just been in this upper room. I've just had a conversation, if I'm Peter, with Jesus about washing and washing feet. I've just participated in this supper and this teaching time. Then we're going together, 11 of us, with our leader, our Lord Jesus, the one we love. And I hear Jesus tell my 8 friends, stay here. But Dan, you come with me and your 2 friends. I wonder if when Peter walked away, he could have gotten a little bit overconfident. He's one of the privileged 3. Isn't it true that sometimes the blessing of God on our lives can make us overconfident? We think we're okay. We think we're doing well. That's the very time to watch and pray. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. It's like there's a bullseye of the blessing of God all over us. But Satan sees that and he comes after us. And oh, he went after Peter here. And it says nothing about Satan here, but I'm sure he was not unhappy that Peter fell asleep. And the others. What should we be determined about? We should be determined to overcome whatever may be coming and to overcome by watching and praying, because we never get past the idea that my willingness is constrained like a straitjacket with our weakness. And until we see Jesus, we'll be defined like that. We will struggle with weakness until then. Yes, we will. And so there's warnings here. Jesus didn't condemn them. He said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went and prayed again. He didn't say, you know, okay, guys, that's it. You blew it. I'm done. No, he went and prayed. And then he came back to them again. Found no sleep. He went away and prayed again. And then he came back again. He came to them. Why didn't he say, you're done. I can't use you. You just don't have what it takes. Oh, if we come out from this passage of Scripture and we feel like we're just like Peter in his failure, we missed it. There's a God in this passage, and if you're saved, there's a God in your life, and he wants to use you. Jesus didn't condemn them, neither did he excuse them. He gave them the answer. He gave them the solution. He gave them the victory. There's a warning to watch. Watch. What does it mean to watch? Well, it's a little bit different than just watching a video. It's the idea of understanding that in this parking lot there is an active shooter. And he's going to burst into this building. And he's going to try to take you out. That's watch. There's an urgency. There's an intensity. There is a caution. There is a desperation. There's a vulnerability. Why? Because you have an adversary. Our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There is no relaxing here. Jesus is not saying, okay, hey, guys, I understand. It's been a big day. Lots going on. No big deal. Chill. No. No way. He said, watch and pray. This is be alert, be on guard, be convinced of the danger. Recognize that before long at all, we are going to stand on the other side, if you will, of the pearly gates. And this time will be over. I like so much what Brother Musgrave said when he said, we'll be able to fellowship better in heaven. We'll be able to worship better in heaven. But now is the time, and the only time, that we will have to win other people to Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is not relax or chill, the warning to watch. May us, each of us as God's children, recognize that real victory is not merely overcoming temptation. Victory is in not even entering temptation. You remember what the Lord prayed and encouraged us to pray and what we often call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. Lead us not into temptation. We are encouraged in the simplest, shortest of prayers. One of the things that Jesus emphasized is to pray, lead us not into temptation. Why would that be a prayer request? Is it not? Because Jesus recognizes, and we can recognize, that if we are tempted, we will so often give in. Lead us not into temptation is not the end of the phrase. The prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The implication, it seems to me, to be understanding that the temptation is the first step toward that evil. And part of this is this whole idea of, Lord, give me discernment, give me perception. Oh, that Peter would have said in this passage, wait, we're all going to be offended because of you? Help me out. I don't see that happening, but I believe you more than I believe me. So Jesus, teach me here. It wasn't like that. It's very possible for us as humans, is it not? Even very sincere and willing believers, it's very possible for us to think we're okay. We're not. Eternally we are. If we're saved, eternally we are. I'm not talking about eternally. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about the dirty now and now. How easy it is for the believers in Jesus Christ. Blood washed, sincere, committed, willing, determined believers to nonetheless fall by the wayside. We're so warned of that. Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He warned here. We're willing, we're weak, but we're warned. The warning to watch and the warning to pray. Oh, well, I prayed. No. No, it's not just saying prayers. It's to pray in the context of this willingness and weakness that led to not being there for Jesus at the time where Jesus needed help. Desperate dependence, I put in my notes. Pray without ceasing, the scripture tells us. Never give up, never give in, keep praying. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lord willing, I'll come back to that on Wednesday. I won't take time to work through that, but it's Ephesians 6:18, amazing text. Four different alls are there. Twice he talks of prayer. Twice he talks of supplication. What is the difference between prayer and supplication? Come back on Wednesday. We'll deal with that subject. Watching and persevering. You know, is it not true that Peter and his friends, they really had no idea how pivotal this night is? They just didn't know it was coming. They had no comprehension of how very, very important that time was. Maybe, brother, sister, I don't know if you think about this, maybe you might be tempted to ask this question or to make this statement. Maybe you'd say, well, you know, hey, it would not have changed anything if they had prayed. I mean, he was going to be denied. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried. He was going to rise from the grave. What difference would it have made? It wouldn't have made any difference if they had prayed. Oh, brother and sister, it would have made a difference to Peter. It would have made a difference to Peter, wouldn't it? It wouldn't have changed the outcome. It wouldn't have changed whether Jesus was going to be denied. Even Jesus prayed, let this cup pass from me. But that prayer was not answered. He said, Father, let thy will be done, not mine. We do not pray merely to change some other things. We pray ultimately to draw near to the Lord so that we will be changed, brother and sister. That we will recognize that we might well be willing, but we are most certainly weak. And we come to the strong one for strength. I would wonder, would Peter have cut off the ear if he had prayed? Would Peter have run away? Would Peter have denied the Lord three times? Would Peter have cursed and denied the Lord? I don't know. But I don't want you to. I don't want you to. I don't want you to deny the Lord. I don't want me to deny the Lord. And the key is to recognize that we are willing, we are weak, and so we watch and we pray, because you and I as well can be lulled to sleep if we fail to watch and pray. Let us look at this passage not merely as a history lesson about Peter, but about a mirror of ourselves, so that we can see who we are. Jesus suffered, he died, he paid our sin debt. He rose from the grave to give us new life. But let us live that new life. Let us not sleepwalk through life, drowsy, dozing off. But let us come even to this place and say, dear God in glory, this being the Lord's day, move in my heart. Speak to me. Help me. I don't know what's coming. You know. Prepare me. Help me. I am in desperate need. I am willing, but I am weak. Don't sleepwalk your life away. Believe what Jesus said and practice watching and praying. Peter fell asleep when Jesus asked for his help, but Jesus still used him. And it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. God will use you too, whether you've been sleepwalking or whatever else in your past. God help us to love him and serve him.